Rabbi said today's daf is daf Nun Dalid. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara is continuing to talk about the halacha of Drusa, where you know that if you have a Ze'ev or a Chatul, etc., that went and attacked and put their claws into animals, and in the case of Oifois, that you had a Netz or a Gas putting their claws into birds, then they have a status of Drusa. The Drusa doesn't mean that it's automatically treif. It means you have to do a bedika, as we learned already yesterday. And the Gemara now repeats that. The Gemara tells us, Yosef Rav Yitzchak, four lines on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Yosef Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Kamed Rav Nachman. He was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, the Yosef Ka'oma, and he said, the Halach is Drusa Sha'amru, Tzricha Bedika Keneged Bnei Me'ayim. When we're talking about the Halach of Drusa, you have to be boidik, parallel to and corresponding to the Bnei Me'ayim. What does all of that mean? So we had a Rashi about this already yesterday. What was the amount that you have to go and be boidik? This was Nun Gimel Amud Beis, just past halfway down the Amud. Excuse me. Tzricha Livdoik, where do you have to be boidik? Gaba, the back. Kresa, the belly area, Bitsidel, and the sides of the animal, V'choshe Keneg B'nei Me'ayim, anything that is parallel to the B'nei Me'ayim, V'imhedim Shom Basar, what do you check for? You don't check for holes, you check to go and see if the Basar, the flesh of the animal, has become reddish, Zeu Ha'eres, this is the venom that it has injected into the animal, Utreifa, and it's treifa. Even though on this spot the animal seems to be functioning normally, what's going to happen is that eventually this venom is going to go and burn all the bnei meayim, all of the innards in the animal. That's all you have to do. So that fatal nature of this so-called venom that is placed into the animals by the animal that is being doreis, that is only keneged bnei meayim, nothing more, nothing less. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not that simple. So getting back to our Gemara, so this is what Rav Yitzchak, etc., repeated in front of Rav Nachman, keneged bnei meayim. Now, Rav Nachman immediately responded to him. The Lashon HaGemara is a little imprecise. On the sides, Hagoyis V'Tzionim, Omalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman now responded, Hualekim, swearing in the name of Hashem. Moiri Barav, Rav was Moira. In other words, he paskind, Mi Kappa V'Ad Atma. All the way from the Katma, from the Kappa to the Atma. Now the Atma is pretty straightforward. The Atma means the Yerech, that means the thigh. The question is, what's the definition of the word kappa? Now we know the kappa, of course, means spoon, but where's there a spoon? So my kappa. Ilema kappa diyoda, if you mean the kappa, the spoon-like shape of where the foreleg may be attached to the animal. Hainu keneg meayim. That is the exact same thing as keneg meayim. That's not adding or subtracting. So if you have here the picture, if you don't mind, we'll share it with everybody. There's a box over here, and this box is called the place of the viscera, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it means keneged bnei meayim, and that keneged bnei meayim is all of the innards inside the animal, and we're starting from the front legs to the back legs, four legs to the back legs. And if you want, you can take a look. You have the same picture?
Yeah.
So you have from the front legs to the back legs, that's all keneged bnei meayim. Now, if the pshat in Rav is from the kappa of one of these legs, so Sukti Gemara, so how is that any different than saying from here to there? Here to there includes this part of the legs which are attached to the rest of the animal. So therefore, says Gemara, you're not adding anything, Rav, if that's the pshat in kappa. Kappa means kappa diyoda. So that's in the same box. Ella mikapa de moicha aratma. What we're talking about is a kapa de moicha. De moicha means of the skull, of the the brain, so to speak, of the animal. Oh, so that means you have to start away from here. So what are we including as a result? Says he, what we're really including is the simanim. Simanim means, of course, the kana and the veshet. So that's all that we're really adding when we're talking about Rav. Yeah, no, yeah, how can I help you?
This is only if we detect, let's say, puncture wounds from claws or...
Correct, that's exactly right. And it's not that we have to detect the actual puncture wounds. What we have to do is we have to see if there's a reason to believe that there may have been a puncture. So the Gemara gave examples, for instance, yesterday, that you had a whole corral of shvarim, of oxen, and then you see an ari, a lion, that entered into the corral. And now you're wondering, did the lion go and put his claws in, yes or no? So then you have to look around, even if you don't see any puncture marks and you don't see any claw marks, but all of a sudden you see some sort of reddishness on the belly or in the back of the animal, and you say to yourself, uh-oh, I see what that lion was doing. It caused that. Under normal circumstances, you don't have to be choshesh. However, if you have a reason to be choshesh, then you have to do this check of this bedikah. And what Rav Nachman is now told of Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta is it's not just the kenegame me'ayim, you also have to add the veshet and the kona, because that is Rav's extension by saying the cup of the ad atma. So getting back to the Gemara,
Yes. Also said by God, like what was the
Lashon Shua? Why did he say Lashon Shua? There may have been some sort of controversy in Bismedish, and this was not a established law. So you have to go and affirm it and to strengthen it. He said the name of God. I want you to know this is what Rav said, and therefore it's broader than just Keneg Menei Me'ayim. You have to have also the two simanim. Yeah, good. From the head ad atma, what does that come to include? That comes to include the simanim. How do I know it comes to include the simanim? If you look at the Rashi, kapa de moicha, it's about three or four lines above the Gemara. Kapa de moicha kaf hagugoylis, tahayna kola chalal viav keneged asimanim. Even keneged asimanim, you also have to go and check it out. You saw that line. Dreyenzach means it was walking around among all the shvarim. Then you heard all types of noises, like we saw in the Gemara yesterday, where the shvarim were all making moo sounds or similar sounds, and you're wondering what's going on. Oh, there's a lion there. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Maybe the lion made a hole. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it injected its venom. Maybe it didn't. So you have to look and check all around. Says Rav, not only kenegad menei me'ayin, but also starting from the kapa de moicha, which means also check the neck area to see whether that has also been reddened, and therefore you know there might be a drusa problem. Kisalik Rav Chiya bar Yosef, when Rav Chiya bar Yosef came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechinel Rav Yechon Reish Lakish to Yosef Kamri. Oh, they were learning the same sugya, almost like the daf with Rameir Shapiro. They left Bavel, come to Eretz Yisrael. They're learning the same Gemara. Ah, Givaldi. What were they learning? Yasvi Kamri Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish in Eretz Yisrael was saying, Jerusha Sh'omer Tzricha B'dika Keneged B'nai Me'yayin. So Omer Lahu. So now Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says, I have the good news for you. I recently was Ola from Bavel, and I can go and say, just like Rav Nachman said, Hu'alikim, Moira Barav, Mikapa V'yad Atma. Rav said, Mikapa V'yad Atma. Omele Rish Lakish was not aware who Rav was.
Wow, really?
Remember, it's not like today that we have internet and we have emails and Twitter, whatever those things are. And you see pictures and you know about everybody and anybody if you want to. So Omele Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish is Manu Rav, where's the Rav? And he repeated it twice, Manu Rav, Manu Rav. And Rashi says, I keep on hearing people reporting things in the name of Rav. I don't even know who this Rav is. Maybe you could tell me. Rav Chiya bar Yosef, you just repeated the name of Rav. Where's their Rav? Zok to Yomara. I don't even know who he is. So Rabbi Yochanan, who was, of course, a Shvugar as well as the Rebbe of Rish Lakish, He says, don't you remember? Don't you remember? It's not true that Rav today lives in Babel, but years ago, Rav lived with us together in Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, he learned with us in Yeshiva together. He said, Talmud, don't you remember that Talmud Yeshimish as Rebbe Rabba? That's referring to Buda Nasi. Rebbe Rabba is like Rebbe, who was our Rebbe there in the Yeshiva. Reb Chia, and also the great Reb Chia. So he was Mishamish, both of these great Gedolim, Rebbe and Reb Chia. Velikim, again for emphasis, called Oysin Shonim Sheshimesh Oysin Talmud. Be Yeshiva, Anishimashti Ba'amida. Apparently there were not enough seats for all the Talmidim. And even if there were, apparently only some had the right to go and sit down. The others had to go and stand. So says Rabbi Yochanan about himself, that I had to stand during those years that Rav was in Yeshiva, because Rav was much more choshev than me. He was able to go and sit, and I had to stand. Man uman govar hu. And if you're wondering, in which respect is he great? Govar bekula. He's great in everything. So on the surface, great in everything means that he knows, you know, from brachis until nida and everything in between. But Rashi goes beyond that. Rashi says bekula betoira ubechasidus. It's not only that he knows kola toira kula, but what an erlicha, what a tmimistik chasidus. One of the highest madregas that you can possibly find.
Tanya also.
That could be. Anyway.
So is it because Reish Lakish didn't recognize, because back then he was still in his bandit days? Or?
Well, you'll see in a moment. So Yochanan reminded Reish Lakish, don't you remember the good old days? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever it was, that we were zochet to have Rav there and he was top stuff. So Miad once Reish Lakish heard this from Rabbi Yochanan, he had pasach Reish Lakish v'yamar, yo, now that you have refreshed my memory, b'ram zachar oisa ish latoiv, she'amru shmur mipiv, not only do I now remember the greatness of that young Talmud, and now how great he must be today, but I even remember a halacha that he said, she'amru shmur mipiv, what halacha did they say in the name of Rav? That shmuta u'shchuta is k'sheira, she efshel shmuta sheti aser shchuta. What is all of this about? Shmuta is what we have called elsewhere in the Gemara nidaldulu hasimanim. The one or both of simanim are not located in their proper place, but unfortunately they have been uprooted from the place in the jaw. And in particular, it's mashu from Rashi that it wasn't just swimming around, but it was yoredis lamata. That, for instance, a kana that is normally on top of the veshit. Yeah, a question somebody has? The kana which is...
How come Rav was a Talmud in Eretz Yisrael and he left to Babel? It's also to leave Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lo'aretz. How come the great Rav...
There are exceptions.
The Gemara says that you're allowed to leave for two reasons. One is Lumay Torah, the other one is Lisa Isha. Perhaps there... he had already learned by the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to learn now in the Gedolei Chutz La'aretz, figuring that they also have Torah, and he wants to nash from them. Or perhaps it was also Shidduch for Rav there in Chutz La'aretz. So I don't know the circumstances, but I'm sure he did it with rabbinical approval. But bottom line, the Gemara is telling us about Rav, that he said about Shmuta Ushchuta. So as we were saying, Shmuta means that, for instance, the Kona. Kana is usually on top of the veshit when you're opening up the neck area for purposes of shchita, and here the kana was below the veshit. It was somehow dislocated and pressed out. Now normally this would be a simon of either nevela or treifa. We had a discussion about this earlier in the perek. However, what happened over here is we saw that it was kishochten properly, a regular normal shchita. And says Rav, if you find something like that, it must mean that the Shmuta took place post the Shechita. Because if the Shmuta would have been taking place prior to the Shechita, so that the Kana would have been submerged down into the throat, or down, and not the throat, but into the jaw of the animal, then you would not be able to make a proper Shechita because the Kana would have been out of place. The fact that people marvel and say, wow, Look at how he severed. The Shoicha did such a great job in severing both the Veshit and the Kana. Muzdach Zayin, that at the time of the Shechita, the Kana was in the correct spot. What happens that subsequently, when the Shoicher or Boydik or whoever was working with the meat, they were playing with it, so to speak, they were checking it out, whatever, and that caused the Kana to be a Shmuta down below, because otherwise it wouldn't have been a proper Shechita. So Muzdach Zayin that this Shmuta took place post the Shechita. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi on that, Pasuk Reish Lakish V'Omar. Rashi is about 40% down the Amud. Pasuk Reish Lakish V'Omar in the Hirali. V'zachu L'toiv V'yoychanan Shkoyich for reminding me. Now I remember Taka the Great Rav, and I remember he said Alacha Shmuta Shchuta. Nimtzis Gargeris Shmuta and U Shchuta. The Gargeris is out of place. It's down below, as we'll see in the next Rashi, and it's kishachted. The ein yedua, nobody knows him koydim shechita nishmeta, because if it was before the shechita, no good. Treif, the veiler. However, post shechita, then it's okay. Zokter avitz ksheira. Why shem nishmeta tchila? If the shmuta was first, before the shechita, you see a redis lamata, then the kana would have fallen down. And you can't shecht it properly. And everybody looks at it and we see that it was geshechted properly. Muzdach zayin al karchach, that in fact the shmuta took place post the shechita and therefore it's kosher. This is what Reish Lakish said. Rabbi Yochanan said, even though what you said in the name of Rav is givaldik, however, Rabbi Yochanan oimer yovi v'yakif. There's a way to go and prove whether in fact the shmuta took place before or the shmuta took place later. What is that? Go over to the kana now and cut the kana. And now compare the two cuts one to the other. And if they both look like fresh cuts, so to speak, that's no good. That means that just like the new cut that I made is fresh, then the cutting of the shechita was also fresh, and therefore it was post-shmuta. And if it was post-shmuta, then it would be treif. So therefore, check out by comparing.
I'm trying to figure out what Rabbi Yochanan's argument is. If you shecht it, mm-hmm. and now you see that the kana, the trachea is dislocated from the jaw.
That's right.
And you're saying this, so now you're cutting the trachea elsewhere.
A second time, correct.
And you're looking at the...
You compare the two.
Yeah.
And look if they look like they're both fresh. In other words, look at the cut of the Mokum Shechita, and look at the new cut that you've now severed the kana.
So when shmuta, it's not just moved away, it's actually detached and torn away and cut like that?
Why are you asking?
Because I don't understand why you would see. I thought when shmuta meant it was just dislocated, it's out of place, but it's not
exactly
moved.
Right. So the question is, when did that take place? Did that take place pre-shmuta? Did it take place
post-shmuta? So how will cutting the kana now demonstrate that? It's not clear.
Because if they look exactly the same, that means that it was just done now, 5 minutes ago, 2 minutes ago. Shmuta apparently is something that takes a while. It's not that, you know, just one morning the kana is out of place. So when did this shechita take place? Before shmuta or after? Clearly there's a shmuta here. I see that the thing is submerged. On the other hand, I also see that it was geshachten properly. So if you're going to go and tell me it was geshachten just now, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, post shmuta, then obviously it was after shmuta, and therefore it's treif, or even a nevela. So how am I going to determine that? I'm going to make a cut right now, I can compare the two cuts, and they look exactly the same. It's a chesimah that the taka just happened. On the other hand, if I see that the earlier cut looks different, that means it probably took place 3 hours ago, 6 hours ago, maybe yesterday, and therefore then I would know that the shmuta took place post the shechita, not pre-shechita, and therefore the animal is kosher. Take a look at the Rashi, the Yakif. Rashi is just 6-7 lines above where we are. The Yakif, Yechad Chenu Mokamacher, sever the Kana in another spot. Im Doimim Marein Shel Chatochim. If the two look the same, then Treif. Why? The Hoyl V'Doimim, since they look the same, Yeshloime She'av Chatach HaRishon Li'achar Ikur Nasa. Just like this new slice that I just did was after the Ikur, clearly. So then the first one was probably also after the Ikur, meaning after the Shmuta. After the Shmuta was already treif. If, however, the Shechita took place first and the Shmuta second, then it would be Nikur on the original place of the cut, that this is already an older cut, so to speak, so that the shmuta took place post that, and therefore then it would be kosher. Dr. Moravite, Omrav Nachman. Not clear? You're clear or not clear? Should we repeat it again?
No, because, I mean, obviously if you cut the kane and it's now 3 hours later, it doesn't look the same like it was
freshly
cut.
Exactly.
So both of them will look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you cut it good 3 hours ago.
You mean you cut it well?
Cut it well.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
yeah, obviously
3 hours
there has to
later,
be...
it doesn't look the same anyway.
There has to be enough period of time for this kone to have been dislocated. So I don't know whether dislocation took place before the Shechita or took place after the Shechita.
Right.
Wouldn't take place on its own after the Shechita. Somebody would have to have been tugging on it or pulling it and checking it or whatever. So now the question is, when I go and do my cut, if the two cuts look exactly the same, that means that this earlier cut took place within the last few minutes, last hour or whatever it was, and that being the case, that's the reason why it must be that the Shemuta took place earlier. And that's why the shechita of the original cut and this new cut look the same. On the other hand, if it would look different, it's a chasimin that this is an older cut. If it's an older cut, then we can assume that the shmuta took place post the cut, and that's why it looks different. That being the case, then I would know that that would be kosher, as opposed to if they look the same, then it would be treif. Could be that when we say that they look the same, it's not just in terms of the actual cutting by the knife, but in terms of how red it is, that if it was a shmuta from before, maybe less blood would flow into that area. Well, if it happens to be normally situated within the jaw, then you'd have more blood. In other words, it would be normal, and if it's shmuta, then l'chayra it would go and have a different complexion of less blood, because it's not the normal way for the blood proceeding when the kana is submerged. Anyway, so this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, and now the Gemara continues on, and Om Rav Nachman lo yishonu elish leitof. Om Rav Nachman lo yishonu elish leitofas b'simonim. That's all if the shoychid did not grab hold of the kana and veshid when he was shechting. Abo tofas b'simonim b'shochad. If he did hold on to the two simonim and then shechted, the Gemara is saying is, you're right. If it's shmuta, if in fact the kana is submerged and you're going to try to shecht it, it's not going to come out the normal way. Because normally the kana is on top, not on the bottom. It's going to go and mar the shechita. However, there's an eitzah in terms of doing a good shechita. It's not an eitzah to go make it kosher, but it's an eitzah so that it should look like a normal shechita, and that is if and when the shoychid were to cut open the neck area, and he says, oh my God, or like him, what happened is I see the kana is submerged. What he could do is prop it up with his fingers, hold now the two in his hands, in his left hand, so to speak, assuming he's a righty, and he's going to go and cut the two, and the kana will have emerged by the fact that he is holding it up. That is not going to help the situation. That's just going to make it more difficult. Because what we're talking about is, it would have been a real shmuta after all. There's some noise in the background. Please put yourselves on mute. So if the shoychet went and grabbed the two, in particular the kana, and brought it up, it's already treif, it's already nevela. We had the ikur simonim already at the time of the shechita. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, even if you do your yakif, and even if you think everything looks exactly the same, and that the shmuta took place subsequently, otherwise, how could the shoychet shecht it properly? He could have shechted it properly by holding it up. When I say properly, I don't mean properly to make it kosher, because once it's shmuta, it's not kosher. It just means to say the fact that you see that the two cuts are identical, same amount of blood, etc., could be because the shoychid held up the kana as he was shechting it, and therefore it could be weiter. It was a shmuta and a shchuta, and it was not kosher. So Rav's halacha of shmuta, shchuta, kshera, I'll be swore what you're saying makes a lot of sense. You're right. But Rabbi Yochanan said you should check it out anyway to double check. And Rav Nachman says this is not foolproof, because even after checking it, it still could be that they look exactly the same. How could it be? After all, it was a submerged kana, it wouldn't look like a normal shechita. Maybe he was tugging on it, pulling on it at the time that he was shechting. The Mishnah concludes, Zeh HaKlal, Mishnah that we've gone on from Daf Mem Beis until now, almost 12 blat. Vushtei dot in the Mishnah, at the very end, Zeh HaKlal, any type of treifa that can't, any type of behemoth that cannot live because of one of these 18 treifois, then it has the status of a treifa. What's the Lashon HaMishnah? Zeh HaKlal, kol she'in kamoya chaya, any other type of animal that was inflicted with one of these 18 afflictions, such as a nekev in the veishet, or psukas agageris, a nekev in the krum shalmoyach, etc., it has the status of a treifa. Now, every time we see the word zeh HaKlal, it comes to be marba something. What does it come to be marba? Says Yomar la'asuyeh shev shmaitza. Coming to add the shev shmaitza. We enumerated the shev shmaitza back on Mem Beis, Amid Beis. The reason why the Gemara called them shmaitza is because it was not a brisa, but these were seven members of the Amiroyim. And we said, yo, there's no Beferish HaMishnah, no Beferish HaBraisa. Zeh HaKlal comes to be Marbe, those Shev Shmaitze. Now the Gemara tells us a story, Be Yosef Rishba. Rishba means that he was a hunter. Machu Begida Nasha. They went and took a shtekin. Shtekin is a staff, stick, and they hit on the Gid HaNosha. Gid HaNosha, we're all familiar from the story of the Malach and Yaakov Avinu, and when they hit the Gid HaNosha, the art scroll defines Gid HaNosha as the sciatic nerve. He hit it. That's apparently a very, very delicate part of the body of the animal. Vekatli, and the animal died as a result of hitting that sciatic nerve. Animal died. Also, the comment of Yudah Ben Beseder. So now the question is: should we say that every time someone gives a clap to the Gid HaNosha, even if it doesn't die imminently, then maybe it should be a treifa, because maybe it's going to die next week, maybe it's going to die in a month from now. Should we add this to the list of the treifas? Amalos, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseder said, v'chiva hoisavah, the treifa is, yesh, ein l'chal ma'ashimonu chacham. You cannot go and add to the original list of 18. If in fact the animal dies, the animal dies. But if you don't see the animal dying, the animal continues living life normally, you don't have to be choshen. And even if you hear from the doctors and the Indian chiefs that al pi rov, all of these Gid HaNosha animals die after a week or after a month, but at the moment it's still alive and kicking and going and coming, it's kosher. We don't add on to the list of treifas from the Mishnah.
So what is Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah? It was Klal then. There must be something there. What is he? He's ignoring this.
The Shev Shmaitza.
Okay.
This is not one of the Shev Shmaitza. This is an additional case of the hitting the Gid HaNosha. If you look at Mem Beis and Mid Beis, the Gemara lists all the seven. It does not list hitting the Gid HaNosha. Now the Gemara has a similar story. The Gemara starts off Devei Rav, not Rav, but Devei Papa Baraba. The reason why we changed it probably is because he was a Rishba, he was a hunter, so he probably was not a Ruv. Anyway, so what's the story? He was also a hunter. And Mochu Bekulia. They give a clap to a kulia. Kulia is one of the kidneys, exactly, the katli, and unfortunately the animal died. Again, the same shakla vataria. Also, the comment to Rababa, and they told Rababa, maybe we should institute that if you go and hit one of the kloyas, this should also be a number 19 on the treifa list. You want to go and add? Whatever the chacham put in the Mishnah, those are the 18. And then, of course, you have the Zeh HaKlal to add the other seven. But not more than that. You can't go and open up the floodgates and start adding on new treifas. Frank Timura, Aiva Kachazin and the Kameisa. We see with our own eyes in these two cases, in the case of hitting either the Kloyas or going and hitting the Gid HaNosha, that it's just a period of time, a day, a week, a month, but eventually it dies. So shouldn't that be realistic physical evidence of a treif and add that as number 19. Evdimar Gemiri, we have a Kabbalah, the Ibadri Law, Sama Chaya. This is not one of those things where it's irrevocable, where there's no remedy. There is, in fact, a very good remedy for this Kloyos or this Gid HaNosha that was hit by the stick, and that is apply certain special medication. If you put the medication on, it can live another till the behemoth equivalent of 120 years. So therefore, it's not like any of the others. If you have a nakiv in the Beishit, you can put whatever medication and band-aids you want, this animal is a goner. However, if you have put medication on these two, it can live, and therefore it's not added to the treifas after all. Okay, now we start a new Mishnah, the Eluk Sheiros. This would seem to be the kind of the mirror image of the first Mishnah. First Mishnah was Elu Treifas, and these are Elu Kshayrus. And you'll see there is a lot of repetition. And the Gemara is going to, in fact, be Medayik. Here it says Elu Treifas, here it says Elu Kshayrus. Is there Nafkamina? We'll see momentarily. So to Mishnah. Elu Kshayrus B'mehima. The following, even though we have a defect, an internal defect, nevertheless, Behima is still kosher. So let's go through the list. Nikva HaGageris. Gageris is what we call a Kana. It had a hole in it, oishinistiko, or it got split. Now, remember from the early Mishnah Daf Membeis, we didn't say nikva hagargeris, we said nifsika hagargeris. That nifsika hagargeris, explained Rashi, means that it was cut on the throat, obviously, the throat area, and we're talking about the kana, which is the windpipe. Until 50%, it's kosher. 51% slit, non-kosher. In other words, not as part of the shechita, obviously. The shoychin opens up, he's starting a shechita, they open up the neck area and they say, oi, 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 look what happened to this guy Geras. It's slit. If it's 51% slit, behema is not kosher. Now, our Mishnah says somewhat differently. First of all, the first Mishnah, Daf Membeis, didn't talk about a nekev in the kana, only a nekev in the veshit. Here it talks about a nekev in the kana. And it continues on, oishinistika, it was split. Now this one is not split perpendicular to the kana, but rather the orkoishul kana, from the top towards the bottom. So oishinistika, it was split. What's the shear that would cause this animal to become non-kosher? At kamoti chaser, how much would be missing, and then we would declare the animal still kosher, but it dropped more, it'll be treif. The Pshim Gamliel Oimer Ad Ki Isseri Talki. The shear is Ki Isseri Talki. Isser, of course, is a matbea. Italki, presumably, it's related somehow to Italy, an Italian Isser. And if the hole that we're talking about, or the split down the middle, is large enough that you put an Isseri Talki, if it's up to an Isseri Talki, which means Isseri Talki does not fit, it's kosher. If an Isri Talki does fit in the hole, oh, that's a big hole, or that's a big split, and now we're of Kahakta Tzuris. Now, if you remember, the first Mishnah we said by the Gageris, didn't talk about a Nekev, it only talked about a perpendicular cut, perpendicular split. Here we're talking about a lengthwise split. Very good, thank you. Lengthwise split. So the Gemara already asked a Stira. First Mishnah says that a Nekev does not possible. Here it says a nekev does passel. So tell me, what's the story by the kana? And the Gemara already answered that the two Mishnais are consistent with one another. The earlier Mishnah was talking about that there was a nekev, but there was nothing missing. There was a hole, nothing missing. As far as the Gageris is concerned, kusha v'yusha, it's kosher. However, what happens if it's missing something? Oh, then the shear is ki isri taki. Like we have here in the Mishnah. So therefore, it really depends on whether there's anything missing. Is any of the flesh of the kana missing? Then the shear is an iser. Nothing is missing, then the shear is ruboy l'reichmai. Continuing with the Mishnah. Nifchasa ha-gugoylis. The gugoylis means the head of the animal, and in particular, this animal has been crushed or diminished in some fashion. V'loi nikiv krum shalmoyach. But we checked out the krum shalmoyach, and that is totally intact. No holes in it. The previous
one. The skull.
The skull, right. So now, what happens if there was a hole in krum shalmoyach? That was back in Daf Membeis. That is a treif. Here there was, Baruch Hashem, no hole in the moyach. Not a treif. Nikiv halei v'loi lebeis chaloloi. Again, the previous Mishnah talked about nikiv halei, but it was lebeis chaloloi. But here was loyla beis chalali. In other words, it was basically a superficial puncture, but it didn't go deep into the inner sanctum, the inner compartment, and it's kosher. Nishbar shedra le nifzik achut shelo. Again, the Mishnah Daf Membeis said it was nishbar shedra, and it was nifzik achut shelo. how much was the shear of the nifsak? We discussed at that time whether it was nifsak oiroi or nifsak tachut, the rubai. But our Mishnah is saying there was no hefsik whatsoever. The shedra, in fact, unfortunately, some of the vertebrae were broken. They were not removed, because if they were nekar, then we would have the halach of Rav of 2 days ago, when Rav was discussing nekra hatzela, nekra hachulia. Here, the chulias, one or more, were broken, but the chut down below, in other words, within the vertebrae, the spinal cord, was intact. And you look shaders, it's caution. Nitla ha-kovid v'nishtarei menekazayis. And kamat, the entire kovid had dissolved, deteriorated, decayed, but there was still a kazayis left. It's kosher. Now this is different than the Mishnah Membeis, because the Mishnah there said, nitla ha-kovid v'nishtarei menekazayis. Nothing was left. Then it's a treifa. It's mashma that if abyssala was left, it can regenerate and it would be kosher. Our Mishnah says, no dafka, if it had a kazayis, then it would be kosher. So the Gemara already asked this kasha, and the Gemara answered, ha and ha. In other words, it's a machloikis between two tanoim. One tana says that the shear is nishtari mena kazayis. The other one says, at least a mashu, it can regenerate. Hemsis ubeis akoyta shenikvu zel atoichzeh. So we've explained in the past that every kosher animal has four stomachs, the first one being the keres. The keres leads into the beis hakoisos, beis hakoisos into the hemsis, and the hemsis into the keva. Now the hemsis and beis hakoisos are like glued together as one. And there's of course a major hole between the two to allow the food to travel from the beis hakoisos into the hemsis and into eventually the keter. By that time it's no longer food, by that time it's already perish, it's already has been changed chemically from food into waste. But nevertheless, there's a major hole between the hemsis and beis hakoisos to allow for the free flow of the goods, so to speak. Nobody was there to go and charge tolls or fees or to close up the Strait of Hormuz. It was able to go and travel. So now, although there's, of course, a large hole that allows for the traveling, but there's still a wall between the hemsis and beis hakoisos, which is surrounding that large hole. What happens if there's now a hole in that wall between the hemsis and beis hakoisos? Says the Mishnah, it's not a problem, because worse comes to worse, you're just going to expand the size of the hole in between. And anyway, there's a hole between the beis hakoisos and the hemsis. So now you have an additional nekev. That's okay. Obviously, if the outside wall of the hemsis or beis hakoisos has an ekev, that's a different story. But we're talking about in between the disconnected hemsis and beis hakoisos, which are like one, if you have an additional hole besides the major hole, no problem. Tchoil is a spleen. The spleen is missing, dissolved, was surgically removed, makes no difference. Kosher. Nitl hakloyes, even if the kidneys are removed. Well, we know even by human beings that there are very nice benefactors that go and give away one of their kidneys to other people. Normally, you can't live without two. You can live without one. By behemoth, apparently, an animal can exist even without two. We'll have to wait for the Gemara to expand and expound on this further. Nitl lechi hatachtoin. What happens if the lechi hatachtoin was missing, meaning the bottom jaw, however the simonim were still intact. In other words, simonim had their basar around them, but the rest of the jaw had fallen or was removed. Nitla ha'aim shala, now we're talking about a female animal that had a womb, and that womb was removed, surgically removed, even by the habdul by women. Sometimes they have
hysterectomy,
so they remove that. And
they did that in Alexandria when they let animals be exported because they wouldn't breed outside of Egypt.
Very good, beautiful. So you see that these animals can continue to thrive and exist, even though they can no longer reproduce. Therefore, it's not a simon of tarfis, they're still kosher. Vecharusa bidei shemoyim. What means charusa bidei shemoyim? What happens if there was such a major lightning bolt and thunder that everybody got scared, and even the animals got scared? It got scared to the point where the reya, the lungs of the animal, became like a charusa. Charusa means it became hardened.
Like a deckle.
Like a deckle tree. the top of the dekel tree is where you take off the lulavim every year for sukkahs. But if you leave any lulavim there, you wait until the next year, they've all the leaves have expanded and they've come out, and they're now very, very hard. And in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, I don't know about today, but years ago they used to use that for schach on top of the sukkahs. So a charusa means that the lungs have gotten hard and brittle just because of the Bidei Shemoyim, because of that huge thunderclap. However, says Rashi, we had this gemara before, if it was Bidei Adam, a person went and caused this, in other words, somebody blew the shofar so loud, or he rang the siren so loud, or he beeped so loud, that everybody got terrified and we got nervous, and the animal also got nervous and became temporarily also a hardened lung. This is the type of thing that can remedy itself, and therefore it is kosher, it is not a treifa. Remeir machshiv chum poistin. On this last, I apologize. Agluda means that the outside skin of the animal was missing, either in whole or in part. We'll talk about that more in the Gemara, what the shear is. But if, in fact, at least part of the or of the outside skin is missing, could the animal exist, yes or no? Machloik is Rameir Chum. Rameir says it's still kosher. The Chum say no, that it's possible. In other words, it's a trifle. Zoktimar. So we started the first mission of the Masechta, not the Masechta, of the Perek. Elu Treifus. Normally the Elu, whenever the Tana writes Elu, means, I mean these and nothing more. And our Mishnah also uses the term Elu, Elu Ksheirus. There it says Elu Treifus. So Rabbi Yochanan focused on the first Mishnah, Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Om Elu Treifus Dafka. I mean Dafka, these are Treif. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer Elu Ksheirus Dafka. No, the Dafka, these are kosher. The Frey Timara, are they saying the same thing in different words? Or is there a machloikis? The Mai Kamif. Again, says Gemara, there is a machloikis bidrav masna. Although the Gemara didn't mention it at this point, the Gemara will mention shortly, don't forget about that the first Mishnah said Zehaklal, which to a certain extent weakens the Elu Treifis, because Elu Treifis sounds only these 18 and nothing more, and then the Zehaklal adds more. Yes.
You know, just to be fully, it says ve'elu. How does that change the facts on the ground if it's ve'elu as opposed to elu?
I think that you should just assume that in the Mishnayos, the two might have been written together as one large Mishnah.
Uh-huh.
You started so elu papers, gotcha. The elu shapes.
Thank
you. No problem. Very often, in fact, if you look in the Mishnayos, there's a different cutting of the Mishnayos or numeration than you have in the Gemara, because the Gemara, you see how much time we needed to explain the first Mishnah, 12 blood, so it only comes later. Anyway, continuing on. Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Omer Elu Treifus, Rabbi Shimon Omer Elu Ksheiris Dafka. My Kamifka Izer Machlek. Yes, but Rav Masna. Yom Rav Masna. We had this already back on the Mem Beis Amid Beis. This was the first of the Shev Shmaitza of the seven Amiroyim Memris involving Treifus. Hai buka di atma de shof me duchte is treifa. Buka di atma means the thigh bone. The thigh bone is connected to the hip bone. We have the same thing by human beings. We have a hip around the loins, and then we have our legs extending from them. And though the two, the thigh bone, the upper thigh, is connected to the hip bone, and that's all part of the natural structure of the human being. We have the same thing applies to an animal. And this book of the Atma is referring to the very top of the thigh bone, where the top looks a little bit like a ball, and it fits into a nice socket of the hip bone. Yep, you see, I have a picture. Gewaldig. So please show the picture to everybody. You have a thigh bone ball, and that ball fits into the hip, in the socket of the hip. Very good. So now what happens to Shofi Tuchti? It got dislocated. This happens to a human being, it's very painful.
Yeah.
And you hear very, very often, particularly older people, when they fall or trip, that they have problems either with broken hips or broken thighs, or the things become dislocated. Sometimes you need surgery, sometimes you don't. But any way you look at it, it's a painful experience. So Rav Masna says, perfect, shkoyach. So Rav Masna says that, unfortunately, this creates a trefer by an animal. It's not mentioned in our Mishnah, and the Gemara said back on Mem Beis and Mit Beis That's one of the seven Shevish Maitza, which is added as a result of the Zehakla. Okay, so now we're going to see it's not that simple, because in fact it's going to be a Machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So the Master said that this is Treifa. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Eilu Treifas Davka, Tana Treifas. These are the Treifas enumerated in the Mishnah. The Tana Zehaklal, but it says at the end of the Mishnah the word Zehaklal, which comes to be Marba, other cases. So the one of a Chazet, leader of Masna. So Rav Masna looked at this Zehaklal, the Asim Zehaklal, and he said that this Zehaklal comes to include his case of the dislocated thigh bone at the top. It got dislocated from the socket. My timer, why did he assume that the Zehaklal comes to include it? The Damia Linatuli, because he says this is similar to the Nuttle case of our Mishnah. Now what Nuttle case do we have in our Mishnah? We had a couple of cases. For instance, we spoke about Nitl HaKoveid, and there is no more Koveid now. Or, we talked about just now Nitl HaTchoil VaHakloyos. So now, Jacques de Gemara, Rav Masna said, since I have Nitula, remember we had back in Lefnim Gimel a list of eight possible categories of Tarfis, and we said in the name of the Smag that that has its own mnemonic of Dan Chonak Nefesh. So one of the nuns is Netula. So this is also Netula, that it's taken out of its socket. Ah, so Tana Elu Treifas, Hani Hu De Treifa, Had Rav Masna Ksheira, says Rav Yochanan, since Rav Masna eyed that Zehaklal, and he says we have Nottel already in the Mishnah, so it would make sense to throw in one more Nottel, and that Nottel is where you have the Buka the Atma, the Nitlam and Koima, that it fell out of its socket. So you're thinking, Zehaklal comes to include it. That's why Rebbe wrote in the Mishnah, Eilu Treifas Davka, to go and exclude your case, Rav Masna, that this is not included. And why is it not included? As Rashi explains, as we've seen the Gemara in a moment, because the two Netulois are not the same. The Mishnah, if we're talking about Notel HaKoveid, Nitel HaKoveid, that means that there's no Koveid left except for a Mashu or except for a Kazayas. But otherwise it's not. Here, the entire thigh bone is there and the entire hip bone is there. Here we're not talking really about missing, we're talking about a dislocation. And that's a totally different character that is not included in the Zehaklal. And since the Mishnah says only these are Treifa, the case of Rav Masna is Ksheira. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan focused on Eilu Treifas Davka, to exclude Rav Masna's halach. What does the Zehaklal come then to be Marva? The other six of the seven Shev Shmaitza, which were enumerated back on Mem Beis Amid Beis. Rabbi Shimon Lokish Amar, Eilu Ksheirois Davka. Therefore, he started learning the first Mishnah like we did, Tana Treifas, but Tana Zehaklal. Started off Eilu Treifas. And there's a Zehaklal at the end of the Mishnah. And Rav Masna saw it doesn't really fit into the Zehaklal easily. My time of why? There's no nekev, there's no hole here. The psuki damya, there's no cut through like we had by the Gageris, that there was a 51% cut through the kana. This is not a real nittle case because the hip bone together with a thigh bone are both there. The Buka the Atma is there. I see it. In fact, I have a picture of it here in the art scroll. Nothing's missing. It's not nottled. It's dislocated. Ah, Tanu Eilu Ksheirois Davka. That's why Rav Shlomim Lakish said on the Amud Aleph, and Reish Lakish says now here on the Amud Beis, that the Eilu Ksheirois, Dos is Davka, Eilu Ksheirois, Hani Ud Ksheirois. Hadrav Masna is Treifa. The Eilu Ksheirois is specially inserted in our Mishnah to tell you, but other cases would not be kosher, that would be Treifa. So Kum Techois, the difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether we focus on and say Eilu Treifas Davka, Eilu Ksheirois Davka, would be the Nafkimina, whether we hold like Rav Masna or not. According to Rabbi Yochanan, since it's Eilu Treifas Davka, this is not one of those Treifas, therefore it's kosher. Says Reish Lakish, says Eilu Ksheirois Davka, this is not one of those which is enumerated as kosher, and they're a bit Treifa. Says Rashi, Oy Bazoi, why do both of them say Eilu? One of them is Agav the other one. as you would say, it's stylistic. If the first Mishnah says Eilu Treifus, and then the second Mishnah says and Eilu Ksheiris. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Treifus is a Dafka and the Ksheiris is a Lav Dafka, just to be consistent with style. Rish Lakish said the other way around, the Ikka was the Eilu Ksheiris, and the Eilu of the Eilu Treifus was thrown in for style. Of course, it's easier to learn like Rabbi Yochanan that the first one is Ikka and the second one is secondary, than to say that the second one is Ikka and the first one is secondary, but that's how each one understands the two Mishnais. Gufa, let's investigate one a little bit further about this from Masna's halacha. Amr Masna, Haybuka the Atma, the Shof, Miduchte, it got dislocated. According to Masna, it's Treifa. For Ava Omar Ksheir, Rava says it's kosher, and that's just like Rav Yochanan said that it's kosher. The Ifsik Nive, however, if the Nive, now what are Nive? Nive means little tendons or little ligaments which are surrounding the Buka Da'atma, which are helping to hold it in place. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that one of these days the Buka Da'atma could get shof, could get dislocated. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu added on some strings. There were strings attached to hold it in place. You see in yeah, one of the...
Better picture here.
Yeah, you like the better picture?
Yeah,
okay, very good. Fine. But you said that when you were there in Tom's River, it was smaller.
Small animal.
I understand. Anyway, so that's why this is the smaller animal than the bigger animal. Exactly. So Rabba Amak Sheira, the Ifsik Nive, however, if those Nives have been severed, then it's Treifa, because that's, you know, this animal, no remedy, it's a goner. The Ilchasa and the Halacha is Ifsik Namik Sheira, even if it's Ifsik, it's kosher. Ah, the Misachla Isakuli, until the point where it begins to, Rashi says, Nirkav. If it begins to rot and decay, rot and decay, then it's daka treifa. But until that point, says Rava, it's kosher. Okay, getting back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that the first shear of the slit or the nekev that we had in the gargaris and where there was a chisoroin, the shear is Isser Huitalki. Apparently Isser Huitalki was not well known throughout the world, only in certain regions. So Om Ziri Atun Tuli Mischazi Lechoin Shiura, you that are not familiar with the Isser Huitalki and how large it is, I will give you a comparable sized coin. That Shiure Bidinra Kurdinoa. That is the dinner that comes out from Kurd. And the article talks about whether or not that's the same as today's Kurdistan, or it's a little bit north of that, or south, or whatever. But it's a northern region north of Turkey and of Iran that you have this Kurdistan or this Kurd. So you had the dinner from that region. Oh, that apparently was well known in Zairi's location. He said that's the shear. And if you're not familiar with that coin, there's a third one, Rabbi Kipshita Zutrasi, or Mishtakcha Beni Pshita de Pompadisa. The Pshita is also a small coin, a smallish coin, and you find them among the Pshiti in Pompadisa. Apparently, there were different Pshiti from different countries, so you find that Pshita Zutrasi that you find among the Pshita in Pompadisa, oh, dos is this year. Dr. Yimara Omer Abchana, Omer Rabbi, says Rabbi, Chana Pseiroa. Seira means a shulchani. Shulchan means a money changer. Good. So chuna p'seira, or apparently Amar Rabbi chuna p'seira said that Eila minoi in front of me was one standing havekoi bar nafcha. Bar nafcha is a reference to Rabbi Yochanan, whose father was a nafcha, was a blacksmith. So Rabbi Yochanan was one standing in front of me in my money changer store. Zimtite, or money changer stand. So Rabbi Yochanan was standing on top of me. The reason why he was standing on top of me because Zimtite, and he saw that there are many coins on the table. So Rabbi Yochanan now addressed Rabbi Chuna Pseira, and he told him, Uboy mini, dinra kurdino, the shari bay trefta. He said, by any chance, among all of these coins, is there this curd dinner? Because if so, I would like to either buy it or borrow it to take to the yeshiva, to go and show them that's the shear of the Eluk Sheiris that we said on the Amid Aleph. And when I saw Rabbi Yochanan looking over my shoulder and looking at all these coins, Rabbi Yochanan, I wanted to stand up to give cover to Rabbi Yochanan. Fleishav Kaini, he would not allow me. In other words, he held me down. He said, Nein, Chana Pseira, sit in your seat, don't get up. Amali Shev B'ni Shev. Why? Because ain't bali umnias rishoyim lamit mepnei tamid chacham b'shoa she'asukim imalachtam. Why are they not allowed to? So says Rashi, because he was an employee, chanep seiroa, working for somebody else. And if you're going to stand up for me, you're going to lose out 2 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds from the time that you're supposed to be serving the public.
His employer.
What do you mean?
You say he's if he's an employee of someone and he's standing up, he's robbing his employer.
Exactly right. So because of that, Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't want your employer to lose even 10 seconds of your time. And Rashi says, it's not only that they would be sitting there watching and waiting for customers to come over, because if that's the case, I could justify standing up because there hasn't been a customer coming over for the last 10 minutes. So let him get up for 10 seconds. It doesn't take away, there are no customers online. They're not online physically. They're not even online on the computer. Nobody's online. So what's the problem? So Rashi says that one of the jobs of these money changers were to go and solicit business. If they saw people passing by, they would say, maybe you need change of a dollar, maybe you need change of 100, maybe you need 100 for 250s or something. In other words, he would say, I have all different types of coins and denominations, and come on over and you'll be able to go and do some business. And then, of course, you would make whatever exchange rate or whatever fee they get for doing things like that. So that being the case, so then you're robbing potentially the employer from that additional income. So therefore, Zokti Gemara, that's why you shouldn't stand up. Frankti Gemara, Feloi, you shouldn't stand up in your junior malacha. But tonight we have the famous case of the people bringing in their bikurim from Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim. It says, Kobali umniois oimdim epneim, v'shoilim b'shloiman, v'oimim lehem acheinu anchi mokam ployni boyachem b'sholet. You have people coming from Haifa, people coming from Bnei Brak, Tel Aviv, or wherever they're coming from. And they had, this was an agricultural society, so they're bringing with them their bikurim. So they would make every year a major parade, even bigger than the parade that we had in New York for the Knicks, and people would stand there and they would go and applaud them, and there was a band and what gezingen and what getanzt. Acheinu anshei mokam ployni bayachem, kum terein b'shalom, it's so good to have you, good to see you, kum terein, oh, we're so proud of you, you bring the bikurim. So it says that the employees, kol bali umnias, were standing. So why couldn't he stand now when Rabbi Yochanan is standing next to him? Talk to you tomorrow. Rabbi Yochanan, the same Rabbi Yochanan says, "Nayam oimdim." Before the bali bikurim, you stand. They tami lecham in oimdim, but there is no heter for tami lecham. So that sounds very strange. So Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, bo re'ei kamachaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Look. Because they're doing this gvaldige mitzvah bikurim. Oh, this is something that we should applaud and we should stand up for. So you stand up for that, you don't stand up for tamid lecham. So you see, a mitzvah b'shaita is greater than tamid lecham. Pray to one, what's the right? It could be that there's nothing special about mitzvah b'shaita more than standing up for tamid lecham. However, we want to incentivize people to bring Bikurim up to the base of English. After all, it's a schlep that you have to bring the Bikurim. It's not like Master Sheni that you can be poided and you take the money up whenever you want, and you'll come back in 6 months from now and bring the money. You got to bring the Bikurim when they're still nice and ripe and gishmak. Can't take them 3 months later. I can't. I'm busy in my farm. I have to go and do more harvesting. I have to do more drying out or whatever it is. So people won't be incentivized. Ah, to make them incentivized, we make as a ticker tape parade, and we have everybody standing up. Come, Taish, Beyach, Lishom, ah, so good to see you. So that's the reason it has no raya from the Mincha B'Shaita. Mitzvah B'Shaita could be to incentivize. Yeah, it was okay.
Isn't it a bit disrespectful to call Rabbi Yochanan Bar Nafcha?
Maybe that was a popular name he had. On the surface, you're right. But we have this reference elsewhere in Shas, and this individual, since it says Reb Chuna Psei Ro'ah, then he was obviously a Psachu Shel Mensch. He wasn't just a money changer. I mean, he did money changing for a living, but he was a Reb Chuna. So maybe they were colleagues.
What would it stand for? You want to have so many people got with the name of goldsmith or silversmith. So you see that they chose a name that they it was respectful trade, and maybe they were actually even well known to be well bankers. They were very
wasn't Rabbi Yochanan himself who was the blacksmith. It was his father who passed away, I think, before he died. So it's...
So he had yechitz.
Okay, whatever. Yishokim or Vaitzim. So therefore you have no right. Some people say from the mitzvah of Bikurim is the reason why you should stand up, for instance, by a chuppah. Chuppah, as you know, it's become now a very popular minhag. This wasn't a minhag when I was a kid. I remember when I was younger, I attended chuppahs. Everybody sat nicely throughout the whole chuppah from beginning to end. They didn't have their cell phones on, because cell phones didn't exist at that time. But anyway, everybody sat nicely and gingerly. And now today, when the chusin or the kalas are coming in, already 15 minutes before, everybody's standing up. Of course, some will say that the reason why they're standing up is because they want to get a good picture, or they want to see clearly what the kala, what the wedding gown, we're talking, of course, the ladies, what the wedding gown looks like, and how they're walking, Yeah, but some say that the reason is that if you come a popular minhag is because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, that the borchim getting married, so therefore you want to stand up the kuvid that mitzvah of going to the chuppah. However, from our Gemara, it's not a concrete raya because kadesh leitei machshin losalovi. The only reason why the bikurim is stood up is not also the chaviva mitzvah b'shaita because we were afraid that they would go and be nichshol, that they wouldn't bring Bikurim in the future. So no special inyan to stand up when somebody else is doing a mitzvah b'shaita.
So if somebody's getting married, you stand up. So when they get married next time, they'll stand up.
Hopefully they won't get married more than once. And we continue on to the Gemara Vayita, Omer Rav Nachman. Kesela ki yasa mi kesela, ki iser ki yasa mi kesir. Let's explain the ki iser mi yasa mi kesir just for a short moment, then we'll get back to the sela ki yasa mi kesela. Back in the Mishnah we said that if you have a kana that has in it a hole, and the hole had a chisaroin, then if the chisaroin was, what was the lashon of the Mishnah? Ad ki iser is kosher. More asked, ad kamati chaser, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, ad ki iser italki. So one thing is clear, if it's 0.999 of an iser italki, in other words, you're not at the iser yet, then it's certainly kosher, because it's ad ki iser italki. Another thing which is certain is that if the hole is larger than Isri Talki, then it's treif. The Shaila in the Gemara is what happens if it's exactly ki Isri Talki. I know E.F. Shalit Sam say, but at least theoretically, if it was exactly the share of Isri Talki, would you say that it's still kosher, or would you say that it's already treif? Because the Losh of the Mishnah is, at Kamati Chosa, how much should it be missing? Until an Isri. Does it mean until 0.99? Or does it mean including an Isser, so 1.0 Isser Italki, that is the shear that is still kosher. Because when does it become treif? When it becomes 1.001, when it's more than Isser Italki. So that's...
We had that same shayla earlier in the Masechta.
Yes, this is a very popular shayla, because it fits into the famous rule of ad v'ad b'chlal, or ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Whenever we have in the Mishnah or Gemara, when it says the word ad, doesn't mean up till, but only until there, but not further, or means that is also included. So Rav Nachman holds here is ad v'loy ad b'chlal, and that's why he says that if it's until an iser, it's kosher. But once you hit the size of an iser, it's already treif. I didn't go above the iser, I just went to the shear of the iser. Maskin. But Rav Nachman said ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When it says in the Mishnah, ad k'iser, until an iser. Once you hit an iser, it's already treif.
It's not a kasha of 51, 49 and 51.
Yeah, if it's 49, then we know for sure it's kosher. If it's 51, we know for sure it's not. If it's exactly 50, that's the question of the ad.
When we say the hole like a sella, do we mean this the circular hole, or do we mean like a coin slot?
We mean the first one. You mean it's not like putting into a pushka?
A patch missing.
Right.
A patch.
We had this back on. Okay.
I just want to clarify. Thank you.
No problem. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara is saying. Now that's about the Isser. We left out the Kesela, Kiasmi Kesela. That's talking about unfortunate circumstances where you have a gulgoilis, the skull of an individual, inside a house. Nothing else. No basar, no other atzam. It's just the gulgoilis. That gulgoilis already makes the house into an oil hatumah. However, if it's missing something, then it's not a full gulgoilis, and then it's not metame b'oil, it's only metame b'maga u'b'masa. How much does it have to be missing? Beishami says, kimloi maktach, we had this earlier in the Gemara, that means like a drill that was used by a surgeon, that's the size of the hole in the gulgoilis. Basil says, "Ke shinotel menachai v'yomis." How much material would you go and take from a gugoylis, from a skull of an individual that would cause him to die? How much is that? The Gemara says, in b'choyrois, the shear is kisela. So now we have the same shayla. When we say, ad kisela, he could still live. Above a kisela, he would die. What about a kisela itself? If it's exactly a sela of material missing Nebuch in that person's skull, would he die or would he live? Ah, Shadusak Rav Nachman. Kisela, kiyasmi kisela. Once you hit the shear kisela, unfortunately this person is a goner. If it's less, it's a 0.99 of a sela, you're okay. Well, 1.0 sela, no good. So Rav Nachman is consistent in both halachas, that kisela, each time it's ad, veloy ad bichlal, so the kisela is like the yesemik kisela, and the isra of our mishnah is kiyasmik. Isra, alma kisela, Rav Nachman, ad veloy ad bichlal. And now the Gemara asks a number of kashas, and the Gemara gives the same teret each time. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, Chevel Yoytze Ben Amita, Ad Chamisha Tvachim Tohar. We have a Mita. Mita, of course, is a bed. A bed was not manufactured like we have today with mattresses, but instead they would connect together the four Amudim, the four bed legs, with ropes, a room and a room, and those ropes would be the bottom of the bed, and then you'd put on top of it some sort of cushion, and maybe you put some kash or teven or whatever, straw, yeah, and then the person would lie down on that. Fine. What happens if, when they put these ropes together, some of the rope was longer than was necessary, and it extended an additional 5 tvach? So the question is, does that have any chashivas? So Rashi says that the din of tumah, when you're talking about objects, it's got to be either a kli, or it's got to be at least a beged, one of the two. If you just happen to come across a piece of wood in the lumber yard or something, if it's not, besides the fact pshuta kliyetz, even if it was not pshuta kliyetz, if it was not a kli at that time, it's just a piece of wood, it's not matama. It's got to be either a kli or a beged, or of course, an individual can also become tummy. All right, so that this chevel, says Rashi, is very insignificant. It's certainly not a kli, and because it's less than 5 tefachim, it's approximately 20 inches, you know, you can't use it. Once you cut that chevel and you give it to someone who says, this is worthless, just throw it away in the waste basket, because it has no shabbos. Ah, so ad chamisha tefachim, if a dead sheretz goes and touches that up to 5 tefachim chevel, which is sticking out, it remains tahor because it's not mekabel tumah. Okay, now the question is, when we said ad chamisha tefachim, did we include 5 tefachim? Or was until 4.999? Says Yomar, my love chamisha kilamata. Don't we mean that 5 tefachim is included in the 4.99? And therefore when we say chamisha tefachim, we mean even if it's 5 tefachim, it remains tahor. And therefore we'd have a rai that ad vi ad bechlau. So Yomar, loy chamisha kilamala, that when we say ad chamisha tefachim means until 0.499999, then it's tahor. Once you hit 5, it's as if it's 5.1, and therefore it is mekabel tumah after all.
Because the chevel now has a chashivas of utility.
Exactly. Once it's 5 tefachim, it has chashivas of utility. Toshima. Now we continue on after the 5. Mehei v'ad asura tumah. From 5 until 10, it has taka that utility, and therefore that becomes tumah. Not more than 10, because more than 10, you're not going to leave it anymore. You're going to go and cut it off. You're going to trim it. And Rashi says it's oimili kotzeitz. So once it becomes on its own, says Rashi, then it has a din like a beggin against tumah of tovui v'orig. Because now it has a chashivas b'fnei atzmai. But if it's just sticking out. So you have 5 until 10, it's sticking out. What's the din? Chashivas is makabel tumah. So since it's a v'ad asara, my lav asara kilamata, that we're talking about 5 until 9.9999, asara kilamala, once again, once it's 10, that's already beyond the 5 until 10. And in fact, 5 means until 9.99, and therefore ad v'loy ad b'chlal, no kasha. Now the Gemara is going to continue tomorrow, Tashima, with further such limudim, mishnayis or brises, where each time the Gemara is going to say, don't we mean ad v'ad b'chlal? And each one of the Gemara is going to say, no, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha rabba. Zayis until